The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
The 80th anniversary of D-Day, the start of World War II Allies' offensive push into France in a bid to defeat the Nazis. Elaine Cobb is in Normandy.
Omaha Beach was the scene of the first and deadliest wave of landings in Normandy. Young men from all across the U.S. landed here on June 6th under a hail of German bullets. 2,400 of them died on the beach, in the water, some struck down even before they could leave the landing vessels. But by the end of the day, 35,000 troops had landed, signaling the beginning of the end of the Nazi occupation of Europe. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Omaha Beach, Normandy.
We're remembering the local heroes who went into war that day. Here's WBEN's Brayton Wilson.
World War II veteran Horst Kirsten is just weeks away from celebrating his 100th birthday and is one of the remaining veterans who fought in the invasion of Normandy that took place 80 years ago today. Kirsten served in the 1st Infantry Division and was among the some 34,000 American troops to land on Omaha Beach on June 6, 1944.
Yeah, we left England on a ship and left at nighttime. We got over there early in the morning. We were the third group to go in, wave to go in. And we did, but everything was going on and you didn't think too much about it, worried about it. You just kept on going.
D-Day was also Kirsten's first taste of combat after being drafted into the Army for military service in early 1943. However, Normandy was not supposed to be the first stop for him after his basic training.
We were originally supposed to go to Africa, but then that was changed, and they decided to go to Europe and get ready for D-Day.
At the age of 90, one of Kirsten's most memorable experiences was attending the honor flight to Washington, D.C., where he started to talk about some of the past experiences at war after returning home. That was the first time his daughter, Diane Skavensky, had really heard her dad detail anything about his service during World War II.
I look at my dad with utmost respect all the time, and I think knowing some of the stories and the things that he had to deal with, it just reinforces how amazing he really was. And the fact that he's always very humble, he will never, in any situation, not just the war, but in any situation, my dad always goes above and beyond for people and never wants to take any credit. He's not showy. He's not looking to be recognized. That's my dad.
More of our conversation with Kirsten and Skavensky is available for you online. Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
Well, incredible stories.
It really.
And it's great that we still have some people here to share them.
I know.
And that's part of the unbelievable part of 80 years since D-Day, one of the most important days in history.
In world history, really.
And David Bellavia has been in Normandy throughout the week, continues to be there. We'll be hearing from him live a little bit later on this morning, and he will be live later on this morning as well once some of the commemoration events are over in Normandy.
And we're asking you at WBEN.com, do you think 2024 America could ever be as united as we were during World War II and D-Day? Yes or no? So far this morning, 88% have checked no. You can find the poll at WBEN.com.
WBEN News Time, now 5:06. Moving to a different topic this morning, just about everybody has noticed it. Whether it's home or auto, insurance rates going up for many people by double digits. WBEN's Tom Puckett looks for an explanation.
Ray Caputo of the Wolf Agency cannot pinpoint one reason why insurance premiums are on the rise.
There is a big move forward to raise insurance premiums. A lot of people say rates, but it's premiums. Raise the premiums and tighten the underwriting requirements.
Caputo says premiums are increasing, but the cost of repairs in connection with the claim are also going up. So what can you do to save money? Alan Justin of Hartloff Benefits, which specializes in health insurance, says in that department, it depends on where you get the health insurance.
If it's employer-based, you're pretty much restricted to what your employer provides. If you're on the marketplace, there's a multitude of choices, but you want to ask, number one, what is my network? Do all the hospitals, do all the doctors, majority of the doctors participate? And are my prescription drugs covered?
Hear more advice online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
All right. Thank you, Tom, for that. WBEN News Time is 5:07. Labatt looking to formally move out of its downtown location 6 years after opening in the Cobblestone District right next to the arena. The former Labatt headquarters office and its first floor brewery are now on the market. The company is reportedly looking for a smaller space because its employees are all remote. The brewery, which never fully reopened after being shut down during the COVID pandemic, is separate from the Draft House restaurant, which is operated independently and remains open.
It's always been confusing, ever since it opened, but it is two separate restaurants. The main restaurant that everybody goes to is still open. It's just that brewery part in the very front, the tasting room with the bar. That was part of Labatt, still part of Labatt, even after COVID, and is closed.
To make it even more confusing, doesn't Pegula own the building?
Bought the building, this was a big deal right before 2020 in 2017, I believe, bought the building. 2018, it reopened with all these, new tenants in there. It was really brought a lot of life to the Cobblestone District. And then everything got shut down, and it's just never quite been the same. But there is still things going on there, just Labatt moving on and fully remote, one of the reasons why. Well, the suspected Gilgo Beach serial killer, Rex Huerman, set to face more charges this morning in a Long Island courtroom. We're told investigators found an unusual piece of evidence from his home that could link him to two more murders.
Huerman is already charged in the deaths of Megan Waterman, Melissa Barthelemy, Amber Costello, and Maureen Brainard Barnes, found near Gilgo Beach in 2010. He's pleaded not guilty to killing the women whom he allegedly solicited for sex. Authorities say they linked him to the murders through his distinctive car and by collecting DNA from pizza crust he threw in the trash.
Andrea Fujii reported DNA from pizza crust. I mean, reminds you a lot of
the bike path.
Here in Western New York.
Boeing successfully launched its manned aerospace program yesterday after significant delays. Boeing Starliner spacecraft took off from Florida with two NASA astronauts aboard with the help of a United Launch Alliance rocket. Gina Sinceri explains why the mission was pushed back several times.
They've had computer problems. They've had parachute problems. They've had fluttering valve problems. They've had computer sync problems. It seems like the problems, small as they might have been, just kept piling on and on and on. Now, to give them credit, this was the first time United Launch Alliance has launched humans in 60 years. It was the Gemini program the last time they did it. So Tory Bruno, the head of the United Launch Alliance, was very, very cautious.
All right, we'll continue to follow this mission. I think they're going to be up for 8 days. So we'll see how that goes.
Aren't they delivering a toilet?
They are going to the ISS.
It's some type of toilet tube. They need it.
I mean,
they've been waiting.
Probably do.
Can you imagine on the ISS?
Imagine Boeing waiting?
Like, let's go. been holding it for 3 months.
The exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast calls for partly sunny skies this afternoon. A stray thundershower possible. Breezy and not as warm. We'll see highs in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy tonight. An isolated shower possible. Cooler and less humid with overnight lows in the upper 50s. Noticeably cooler tomorrow with occasional rain and highs only in the mid-60s. Partly sunny and staying cool on Saturday with a chance of showers later on in the evening. We'll see cool highs again in the mid-60s. With the exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Mary Beth Robel.
We are taking a look at electric vehicles with yet some new numbers out this morning. Elizabeth Carey with the AAA of Western and Central New York is joining us live. Elizabeth, we heard from some previous surveys about a week ago, EV enthusiasm was on a downward trend, to say the least. And there's some new numbers out this morning that show, that's pretty much the case.
Yeah, sounds like the EV hype is ending here because there's this new consumer survey out by AAA. It took a look at electric vehicles, and it does show that decline in consumer interest. You take a look at the numbers, only 18% of people that were involved in the survey said they would be very likely or likely to buy a new or a used EV, and that was down from 23% last year. And you have to look at the numbers even closer. 63% of people said they'd be unlikely or very unlikely to buy an EV for their next car.
Wow, that is a pretty big number. What are the biggest reasons, maybe in order, of why people, just don't want to be, they're not enticed to an EV?
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons, but the number one concern was a higher purchase price. We've heard the stories of EV batteries and how much they are to replace and everything, but overall, higher purchase price was the number one concern. The second was that high cost to replace that battery. And then people are worried about the lack of convenient charging. You know, if you live in an apartment or even if you live in a house, how do you get a charger put in? There's a cost to that. Am I going to have a charger near my house? Whereas there's gas stations on every corner, you know, so a lot of concerns that. And then other ones were people concerned that it wasn't good for a long distance travel, like a road trip. And people also still have that range anxiety and they're scared they're going to run out of charge on the road.
Yeah, and there's not really many good solutions or answers as to when that's going to change, right? You know, you could say, all right, I got an EV or I'm looking into one. Am I going to be able to, you know, charge this thing up in a very short period of time, like akin to getting a gallon of gas at a gas station? Or am I going to be able to find a place to charge up just like I can find a gas station? And the answer is always, yeah, someday you will.
Yeah, they said they were going to put them in everywhere and we'd see more and more of them. And we have seen them. I mean, we have some at AAA and cars do pull up and charge there. But hotels are adding them regularly. But at the same time, like when you think about the number of gas stations, you know, from your commute to work, how many gas stations you see or that you could pull off the throughway and stop at, there's definitely not as many EV chargers available.
Can't imagine, like if I'm planning a road trip, I can't imagine having an EV and trying to figure out, you know, how far I could go before I have to pull, you know, over somewhere and find a charging place. And I mean, it would add so much stress onto a trip, right?
There was a reporter who did a story for a national automotive publication, and we did a webinar with her at AAA, and she went on a road trip with an EV just to see what it was like. And some of the concerns she talked about, things I never thought of. It's dark. It's night. These aren't well lit, and you have to sit there for an extended period of time charging your car. She didn't feel safe in a lot of the areas because what if someone comes up and you can't drive away because your car is not charged? Like things like that that, you know, you don't think of on a regular basis. So a lot of these are deterrents to people when they're thinking about buying a new vehicle.
The price certainly up there. There are incentives to help people, but the incentives can be confusing, right? Like nothing beats that go home sticker price. And you can say, well, you know, once you file your taxes, you'll get this back from the federal government. Does that really stick with people when they're making that purchase decision?
I just think there's a lot of unknowns where people say, this sounds like a hassle. I've got to rely on the government and get a refund and put all the paperwork through or whatever it might entail. Whereas they're comfortable because they know the car buying process for a gas-powered vehicle. Overall, when you compare the maintenance and the cost and everything, it could be even a little cheaper in the long term to get an EV, but there's unknowns with it. And that's what the fear is. And people say, you know what, I want to stick with what I know. I know how much gas I use. I know how much it costs. I know it might go up a little bit, but I can account for that. And, you know, we hear the stories, you know, you see the things online or on social media, all these stories of like replacing an EV battery and how it's so expensive. And so, you know, people just say, I'm going to stick with what I know.
You know, I love how you mentioned the repair aspect of this because it really is a lifestyle change in so many different ways, you know, whether it's filling up or making the repair. Like you think of somebody with their own car, maybe you replace your own brakes or brake pads on your car. Well, ask anyone who's had a hybrid over the last, you know, 20 years. It's a little more complicated once you get into these brakes that use, you know, the regenerative battery braking and like all that kind of stuff. It's a little more difficult to do. Like, can I do that on the new car? You've always taken your car to the same garage to get a repair or change the oil or whatever you have done to your car. Well, do they know how to even do an EV? I mean, you could be changing so many things.
Right, it's true. And overall, maintenance costs for EVs are less than for gas vehicles. But like you said, you know your mechanic. You know where you take it. Do they know how to fix these EVs? I mean, obviously, there's not an engine, so you don't have to worry about that going. But there's other costs, too. And, you know, people get worried about that. And another concern is safety because you hear, there were EV fires. Is my EV going to start on fire? And, like, the state agencies and government agencies are saying, no, they're not at a higher risk for fires. But that's a huge battery that's in there. That EVs are about 33% heavier than a gas-powered vehicle. So it's a bigger vehicle. People are concerned if it was involved in a crash, you know, these are two cars and the EV's a heavier vehicle, it might lead to more injuries. And that hasn't been proven in many cases, but it's a concern that's out there. And, you know, rumors happen, people start talking, and then people say, you know what, I'm just going to stick with what I have. But the survey did show that some people said, well, I would consider a hybrid because then I can experience the EV portion of it, but I can still rely on the gas as well.
You know, I was just going to say, hybrids seem to be another story. I would think that the survey results would show a lot more favorable interest in hybrids.
Yes, a lot of them were saying that they would buy a hybrid because they could experience the EV. They could save on gas at certain times, but it would be more suitable for those road trips. They wouldn't have to depend on public charging all the time. And also, they wouldn't be worried that they'd run out of a charge on the side of the road.
I know you're already taking a look at not driving there yourself, but Bill's Travel, whether it's to LA or other places. What's the interest you've seen so far with the season still months away?
Yeah, a lot of people were calling right as soon as that schedule came out saying, how can we get to a Bills game? And then AAA put the trip out about the game in L.A. And what's happening is a lot of people that went to London last year are booking that trip. So one of the travel agents was saying it's going to be like a London reunion because so many people that traveled together to London with AAA are already scooping up spots on the L.A. trip. So there's still a few spots left, but it's definitely high interest and people are looking to go cheer on the team on the road.
Well, that says a lot. If they want to come back with you, you know, they must have had a really good time. So far, is it just L.A.?
Right now, that's the only one that our group travel department has put together because they had so much trouble getting tickets. They tried to get Seattle. They couldn't get a block of group tickets together. They tried to get Houston. Those weren't available either. So it's hard. I mean, you know, a lot of people are looking to travel and see the Bills on the road. So scooping up a large number of tickets was difficult.
It's kind of crazy. You know, ticket demand would be so high in a lot of those places. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. Elizabeth Carey from the AAA, serving Western and Central New York, joining us live here on WBEN.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.